Good evening. I'm Roberta Scott, sitting in for Jerry Pippin. His mysterious illness has returned this weekend, and he asked me at the last minute to sit in for him. I have worked as Jerry's producer of his comedy productions, produced the Las Vegas radio shows and the remote radio shows since 1984, but this is a first. Before we go any further, I would like to thank Jane Swartley, Jerry's web producer, for all of her work this weekend. She edited and worked up 4 shows this weekend while Jerry was being treated. It is because of her that this work has gone on. The new shows are up, thanks to Jane. Our first guest this evening is Grant Cameron. Good evening, Grant.
Good evening, Roberta. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just fine. Well, Jerry and I have known you for many years, but in the past few years, you've turned your research interests to the involvement and actions of the presidents of the United States in the UFO problem. Well, we know you've made numerous trips to the National Archives and most of the various presidential archives looking for presidential UFO material. So what's new and juicy, what kind of new and juicy information can you tell us this evening?
Well, I'm working on a couple of new items. First, I'd like to say I'm sort of honored to be interviewed by you because, as you said, we've sort of run into each other. You and Jerry did all the conferences. I've been to all the different conferences, and you were always there. And the one thing I'd sort of like to talk about is women in ufology to start, because it ties into something that I've just gotten involved in that I think is important. And, you know, people on the outside really don't realize that there's a lot of women who play significant roles in ufology, and you've played yours. And the other thing that people don't realize, I think even people in the UFO community don't realize, is that there's sort of a difference between women and men when it comes to what they're interested in. And if you go to conferences, you'll see this kind of stuff. That if you, like, for example, if you go to the men are into hardware bodies and crafts and stuff like that. So if you go to the Crash Saucer conference, and you and Jerry have done that a couple of times, you'll see like 3 women in the room, and the other couple hundred are men, and the only 3 women are the women who couldn't get, you know, rides to go to the mall. That women really aren't interested in that kind of stuff. They're more interested in the spiritual and the psychic aspect of it. So if you go to like a big conference like UFO Congress, you'll see the experiencer sessions that they have every morning at the conference. The place is absolutely jammed, and the vast majority of it is women. And women are into this sort of spiritual aspect or this psychic aspect, experiencers, all this kind of stuff that men really haven't followed. And I think there's a definite connection between the two, that the two should come together in ufology. We've sort of left this off, and that's where some of my new research is coming in. And the way I got the idea was I was at UFO Congress this past year, and all the speakers there was this sort of undertone in all the speeches of consciousness, of spirituality and consciousness. For example, Stephen Greer, he's always talking about, you know, consciousness and UFOs. David Sereda and Stan Romick talking about the equations that are coming in his head from the aliens, and Whitley Strieber, of course, the interaction, the mental interaction with the aliens, and Yvonne Smith. But the one that really sort of got me was Colin Andrews. And Colin Andrews is sort of a, you'd think is a sort of a hard, doing the crop circle stuff. He's sort of the expert on crop circles, done this for a number of years. And he did a study for Rockefeller. And the study showed that 80% of all crop circles are hoaxed. And he made a lot of enemies in the UFO community by that. And his lecture is what sort of got me sort of inspired. It was like almost like a shower of ideas that came to me. And it just sort of exploded in my head, all these ideas that I'd known my whole life through my 35 or 37 years studying ufology, that all sort of came into my head. And Colin Andrews came out and talked about now the crop circles that you have, crop circles that are done by aliens, the 20%, and the other 80% are hoaxed. And everybody says, well, you know, that's not alien related. And his new theory is that, yes, that's alien related too, that the investigations that he did and all the work that he did actually showed that the vast majority of the hoaxers that he talked to and got to know that were hoaxing these crop circles were talking about the fact that it would appear in their head, what kind of crop circle to hoax. And he and Colin Andrews brought up a couple of examples that basically showed that the aliens are probably behind this too, that they're putting the idea into these people's heads. So at that point, I got this, as I said, this shower of experiences from the past that showed that consciousness is a critical part of the UFO phenomena. It's not nuts and bolts. That consciousness, the psychic aspect, may be the part of the UFO mystery that we, if we actually put it together and figure out how it works, that's what it's all about. And in the examples that I can quote to you from this, the stuff that shows that this is a critical component that, that ufology has missed is, as you know, I started as a researcher and I had some sightings back in 1975 and I did the, you know, the investigation. I talked to people and stuff and I sort of got depressed because the book didn't get published and people really didn't care about the sightings. And I went to the, to study the Canadian government at that point. And one of the critical things that came out of there, this research on flying saucers by the Canadian government was done by a guy by the name of Wilbert Smith. And Wilbert Smith is famous in the UFO community. Everybody knows this document. It's called the top secret document. It's one of the only legitimate top secret documents that's been declassified on UFOs. It was a document that he wrote to the Deputy Minister of the Department of Transport in Canada. And what the document basically said is this. It said, I went to the United States. I made a trip. I talked to U.S. officials in the United States. And what I was told was the following things. Flying saucers exist. It's the most highly classified subject in the United States, rated 2 points higher than the hydrogen bomb. And there's a small group headed by Vannevar Bush that is trying to figure out what's going on. And I and every other researcher for a number of years has passed this document around and saying, this is an important document. This is the important part of the document. And everybody, including myself, left out the very next line in the document. And it's critical to remember, this is December of 1950. Smith says, and I was also told that there's other things that the officials think are connected to flying saucers, such as mental phenomena, and that if we, the Canadians, have anything to exchange, they're willing to exchange credentials and talk to us about it. So in 1950, Wilbur Smith immediately said mental phenomena was part of the flying saucer phenomena. The reason that's so important is a lot of people in ufology don't realize, they think that things are always the way now that they were in the past, and it's not true. Things were different in the past. And in 1950, there were no contacts with aliens. There was no contactees. There was no abductees. There was nothing. So the fact that in 1950, before any of the contactees, Adamski and the rest of them, showed up on the scene, the American government already knew that mental phenomena was a part of the UFO phenomena. And we sort of just disregard that. And Smith was an important guy because he said he was talking to U.S. officials. So that's number one, a critically high-level person. The next high-level person that we ran up, and this popped into my head after the conference, that I knew about this and I'd heard it and I didn't really realize the significance of it, was when we went from the Wilbur Smith thing, we got led through a scientist in Washington, D.C. to Dr. Eric Walker. And that was a book that I did called UFOs, MJ-12 and the Government. I wrote it in 1989. We published it. MUFON was the first book MUFON published. And that told the story of Dr. Eric Walker, who was a guy that a scientist squealed on. There was a scientist by the name of Dr. Robert Sarbacher, who said that in 1950 he had been invited to a series of briefings at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base with regard to the crash of a flying saucer. Stanton Friedman interviewed him in 1983, and Stanton said, well, did you go? And he said, no, I was busy, I couldn't go. And Stanton said, well, who went? And so he would name off different people, and all the people he was naming off were dead. Stanton says, well, can't you remember anybody who might still be alive? And he said, well, there was this guy in Pennsylvania, he was real arrogant, he went to all the meetings, he thought he knew everything. When we tracked it down, it appeared to be Dr. Eric Walker. We phoned him, he said, yes, I was there, so what? So it led to an 8-year investigation of Dr. Eric Walker. Now, being men doing this investigation, we're asking about the hardware. What about the notes from the meeting? What about the aliens? What about this? What about that? And in the middle of these 8 years of interviews by 6 different researchers from around the world, one of the researchers in the United Kingdom was interviewing him, and suddenly in the middle of the interview, Walker stopped him and said, let me ask you a question. And Henry Azzedal, who was doing the interview, said, what? And he said, how good is your ESP? How good is your sixth sense? And he said, well, no, why does that matter? He said, unless you understand that, unless you have the mind of Einstein, you're not going to get anywhere. So that was the second thing that occurred to me just recently, that this, we had been told about this 20 years ago when Walker said this is a critical part of the phenomena. ESP, how good is your ESP? The third one is, if you recall, and a lot of your people on your show or listen to your show will know this story. Ben Rich, who ran Skunkworks, who was the sort of the apex of the black world, in 1993, just before he died, Ben Rich gave a lecture to UCLA graduates, and there's a couple of engineers. One was Jan Hartson, who was a MUFON, top MUFON guy in California. Ben Rich is giving this speech, and during this speech, he says, we found the mistake in the equation. We now have the technology to take ET home. So Hartson and one other engineer that I've talked to in the last couple of days both said, yes, this happened. We heard him say this, that they had the technology to take ET home. Ben Rich finishes the speech, and Ben Rich is leaving the auditorium. Jan Hartson runs after him, and Jan Hartson says to him, Ben, how are UFOs, what kind of propulsion do UFOs use? And Jan, and then Ben says to him, let me ask you a question. How does ESP work? And Jan Hartson says, well, that just shows that everything in the universe is connected. And Ben Rich turned around and said, now you know how UFOs work. So this critical aspect that women have always had in ufology, that they've been tied into this sort of thing, and men have sort of missed, if you put it together, if you put the hardware of men and the psychic and the spiritual aspect that women are interested in when they go to conferences, then I think we can solve the problem. I think that's one of the things we have, is that we're going in two different directions. We're doing two different things. So it's a critically important thing that women are involved, and that it may be women in ufology who lead us to the answer of what's actually going on.
Wow. I think you're really right on. I really do.
Yeah, you've been a lot of conferences, so you see that as well.
Yes.
There's a division between men and women as to what kind of lectures they go to.
Right, because, you know, women love crop circles, orbs, ESP.
Yeah. Like a lot of the experiencer things, if you go in the morning, I remember the one this year, the one experience, Yvonne Smith was running the experiencer thing. It happens at 8 o'clock in the morning. And apparently the one morning you couldn't get in the room. There were so many people in the room, and the vast majority of them were women. That's something that appeals to women. And I think we have to sort of look at that aspect and say, and I'm saying right now, this is possibly the most critical part. And in fact, Jerry and I have talked about Ronald Pandolfi. And Ronald Pandolfi supposedly runs the UFO desk. But my understanding is it's not called the UFO desk. It's called the phenomenology desk. Phenomenology is UFOs, paranormal phenomena, remote viewing, psychic phenomena, ghosts, all this kind of stuff. And the whole thing is that there is an aspect of reality that we don't understand that controls all this phenomenology stuff. And as soon as we understand this spiritual, and Stephen Greer would say it's consciousness. A lot of people would say it's consciousness, understanding what consciousness is. Once you understand that, then you can start to figure out what UFOs is about. And the top people in the field, these top three people that I've referenced, have said that's how it works. And they've said it over 30 years. It's not something where, you know, they all heard each other say it. This is something that top people have indirectly told us. This is the answer.
Well, I've always felt that ESP has something to do to unlock all of the mysteries. But I just think this is remarkable. It really is. And I'm so glad that you have put all this together so that we can start moving forward and just see how ESP works and take ET home.
Yeah, take ET home. I'm giving a lecture in Philadelphia in September, and I'm putting the whole thing together. The other aspect that all these people have talked about is mathematics as well, that I'm putting this all together. I think it's one of the most important lectures I've ever given. I've given a lot of lectures about, interesting stuff about what the presidents knew, and little, you know, like a National Enquirer type lectures where you have these interesting little stories. But I think this is in terms of actually trying to put together what's actually going on. This, I think, is my best attempt to actually explain what's going on. And in terms of this mathematics, all three of these people have said the same thing. Wilbur Smith said, we don't have the mathematics to handle this. And Dr. Eric Walker said the same thing, broke it off in one interview and said, how good is your mathematics? And this guy from England that was doing the interview said, well, as good as any physicist. And that's when he said, unless you have the mind of Einstein, you aren't going anywhere to try to figure this thing out. And Ben Rich had the same thing. The problem in the math, we have a problem with the mathematics, and we figured out the problem. And the other person that had this mathematics thing was in 2004, General Wesley Clark, who was a four-star general with the Unified Command, who's one of the people who should be briefed on crashed flying saucers. He was running for president. He was running for the Democratic Party, and at one point he was leading the Democratic side, and he was in New Hampshire, and he was asked by Jay Buckley, who was a space shuttle astronaut. He said, General, what's your vision of space? And General Wesley Clark started talking about the fact that, oh, you know, I wanted to be an astronaut and my eyesight wasn't that very good, and therefore I went into the Army and I moved my way up and I became a four-star general. But actually, I really wanted to be an astronaut. And then he said, I believe that we can go past the speed of light. I believe that we can do it. And it was just bizarre. He said, I've argued with physicists about it. I believe we can go past the speed of light. So here we have a four-star general with a unified command who's saying he believes we can go past the speed of light. And I got a message that said he's been briefed on crash flying saucers. So I immediately put out the alert in 2004 all through the United States to as many people as I could as he made his way around the country campaigning for president to say, ask him the briefing question. The same question that I asked Dick Cheney, have you been briefed on the subject of flying saucers? And he wasn't asked until the very end. 2 days before the end of the election, he was heading to Roswell, New Mexico, because they always go to Roswell, same as Obama, which we'll talk about in a minute. They all go because New Mexico is a swing state, so all the presidential candidates end up in New Mexico and Roswell to try to get that state. The 2 days before, Dr. David Rudiak from California runs into him in Reno, Nevada. He's giving a lecture, and Rudiak decides, I'm going to ask him the briefing question. Wesley Clark makes the presentation, and Rudiak comes up to him and says, General, you talked about the fact that you thought we could go past the speed of light, that you've argued with physicists, and you really believe we can go past the speed of light. I'd like to ask you, General, have you ever been briefed on the subject of flying saucers? And Wesley Clark said, I know some stuff. In fact, I'm going to Roswell tonight. Rudiak came back with the briefing question again. So he said, so you have been briefed. And he said, we have to work out our own mathematics. This thing keeps coming up. It pops up. And because these are high, high-ranking people, these aren't people from, you know, underground Area 51 with unnamed names. These are people who are actually, you can get their verified background, that these are people who should know what's going on. And they all talk about ESP, and they all talk about mathematics. And in fact, Ben Rich said that he had, that the Skunk Works had hired a whole series of theoretical mathematicians to work on problems, that they realized this was the whole crux of the problem was mathematics behind the UFO thing and the consciousness thing. So those are the two things, and I'm going to talk about it in Philadelphia. I'm going to put it all together, and I think you'll see it's very unified, that this is something that the intelligence community has known about since the 1950s, because we play the game in ufology. We really don't know what's going on. You know, we should get the government to set up a study. We should get science to set up a study. It's garbage. They know what's going on. They've always known what's going on, especially if you get a document in 1950 that says they knew mental phenomena was involved. They understand a lot more than people are giving them credit for.
Yes. I've always felt that it has to do with numbers, that numbers are very important in the messages that we've been sent. I think we've been sent many messages, but it's in numbers.
Yeah.
And the mental phenomena and numbers, I think that's where we're going to get the answers.
Yeah, and
unfortunately, I'm not good at the numbers.
Well, that's what Walker said. Unless you have the mind of Einstein, you are not going to make it anywhere in this field. And he said, give it up. Go study something else. Forget it. You're not going to get anywhere. That's why he didn't want to talk. He just kept saying, forget about it. Do something else. Find another hobby to do. Something else. You're not going to get anywhere. It's too complex. You can't get at it. And Ben Rich is saying the same thing. Wilbur Smith is saying the same thing. They're all basically saying the same thing over 60 years and top-rated people. And as I was talking before, there's a lot of indications now that they actually everybody knows that it's just a classified subject. I was talking to Jerry when we were going to do this interview. It was about the Goldwater papers that I had at the Congress when I was in – I went to Phoenix early. I was in Phoenix for a month, and I went to look at the Goldwater papers, and there was indications there that Barry Goldwater, who was a senator from Arizona for a number of years, who had actually been the Republican candidate for president against Lyndon Johnson in 1964, that he had this lifelong interest in UFOs. And I went there, and I was looking at his collection of UFO letters that he had written people, and they run from 1966 through to 1996. And there's indications in those letters that Goldwater didn't know what was going on. He talks up till 1981, and I discussed this with Jerry, this weird sort of pattern that appeared in these letters, that from 1966 to 1981, Goldwater always talks about the meeting with LeMay. He's famous for around 1964 when he was running for president. He goes to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and he said at one point he was getting 100 requests a year to get inside what was called the Blue Room. And the rumor of the Blue Room was it was where they kept the UFO hardware, it's where they kept the bodies and all this kind of stuff. And so General Curtis LeMay was a friend of his. General Curtis LeMay was head of the Air Force at the time, he was sitting on the Joint Chiefs of Staff as part of the Air Force. And Goldwater goes to him and says, General, you've got this very secret room. I'd like to get in this room. And Goldwater says to him, look, I can't go in. You can't go in. Don't ever bring up the subject again, or I'll have you court-martialed. So this is one general telling another general, I'll court-martial you if you ever bring up the subject again. So Goldwater, in these 66 to 96 letters, all the way up to 1981, he talks about the fact that he had this meeting with LeMay and what happened in the meeting. And then he says, other than that, I know nothing more than the man on the street. 1981, it all changes. In 1981, he gets a letter from a ham radio operator in Australia. This ham radio operator asks him a question. It's not about UFOs. It's just a question in the letter. Oh, by the way, what do you think about the material in the Roswell incident? And as I said before, people don't realize that Roswell has only been around since 1980. Before 1980, nobody talked about it. Nobody knew what it was. So 1981, the year after Bill Moore and Berlitz brought out this book called The Roswell Incident, which first described the Roswell story and the witnesses and stuff like that, he says, how accurate is the material in the book? And Goldwater, who said up to 1981, I know nothing more than the man on the street, says to him, some of it's true, some of it's not true. That's as much of an answer as I can give you, so don't push it. Which tended to indicate that as chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee in 1981, he was interested in UFOs. The Roswell book came out. He went and got information on Roswell as the Senate Intelligence Committee chairman and was given an answer and has now changed his tune and says, I can't tell you anything more. And if you look at the letters after 1981, he basically says to people, the Air Force, if they covered it up, they did the right thing. And it's always going to remain classified. He makes these statements as if he knows what's going on. It's never going to be released. It's very highly classified, and they did the right thing by covering it up. So here you have a Goldwater who appeared at one point to be told. And the other example that I talked to Jerry that we were going to talk about tonight was the Obama thing, where I wrote an article, and it's on my website, presidentialufo.com, where I wrote an article called, Did Obama Fumble the UFO Cover-Up? The government, since 1947, has always maintained it's not national security. We don't know what's going on. There's nothing to this. And they went as far as last November, Stephen Bassett got a petition on. They got 12,000 signatures on the White House website and forced them to answer the question about, is there ET presence on Earth? So a guy by the name of Phil Larson writes this letter on behalf of the president, and we found out, I filed all the FOIAs, I found out later the president never saw the petition, he had no idea it was even there, it was handled at the office of his science advisor. Phil Larson, inside the science science director's office writes this letter and says there's no credible evidence. We have no evidence to indicate that there's ET on Earth. So their final position is no credible evidence, have no evidence whatsoever that ET exists. So a month ago, Barack Obama goes to New Mexico. It's campaign year. Everybody goes to New Mexico in campaign year. He's pushing the oil industry because the gas prices are high. He's going to make this speech on oil to say he's the president for low oil prices. He goes to Roswell, New Mexico, and he makes this bizarre statement. First of all, he sets up a joke. When you go to Roswell, New Mexico as the president or whoever, you always have to have a UFO joke because it's a Roswell crowd. So he makes the joke. He says, you know, as I walk around, I get lots of questions from 9 and 10-year-old kids. And the main question they want to know is, Mr. President, have you been to Roswell? And is it true what they say? And I always look at him and I say, son, if I were to tell you that, I'd have to kill you. And that was an expression that he'd used once before when he was asked about, is there a presidential book? Is there a secret book that the president has? And a reporter asked him, and he used that same line, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. And it's a joke. He got the whole, everybody laughed about, you know, him killing these 9, 10-year-old kids. So the joke is there, and then he transitions. You can see if you watch the video, and if you go to Obama, Roswell, you Google that, you look at the video, you will see that the joke is over, everybody laughs, and then Obama transitions into the speech, and he says, so we're going to keep our secrets here. And he basically says, we're going to keep the Roswell secret a secret. It basically counters everything the government has been saying for the last 65 years. It basically says, Roswell is secret, it's classified, and we are going to keep the secret, we're not going to talk, which means Obama knows what's going on as well, which is the question that I've worked on, because I worked on the presidents for 15 years. It's always that question, does the president know, doesn't the president know? And it would appear from Obama that Obama knows enough to know it's classified. He may be not told the details, but he knows what's going on. The government knows what's going on. There's no game. They know what's happening. They're working on it, and it appears they may actually have gotten to the other end of the problem. They may have the technology to take ET home. It's just classified, and it can be used for war. They don't care where the aliens come from. They want the technology, and that's the end of the story. They're not going to disclose because it's military technology.